These things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last Thursday, we had the feast of the Ascension of our Lord. This farewell of our Lord to his apostles took place at the Mount of Olives. During his life, Jesus spent lots of time on this mountain, teaching and prophesying to his disciples. When our Lord was then about to depart, he knew that the apostles did not fully understand what he taught them. And he also knew that because of the weakness of human nature, much what he told to them would, in the course of time, be forgotten, unless there would be some higher and supernatural assistance. Our Lord therefore promised to send the Holy Ghost to be with the apostles, to teach them all things and to bring to their remembrance all that he had said to them. But the apostles were not to live forever on this earth. The promise was not meant to apply only to them individually, but also to their successors, the bishops, and the priests they would ordain. I wanted today to tell you about a priest from my land named Wilfried von Christierson. He was born in Vasa, which is a town on west coast of Finland, on May 16, 1878, and he was the son of a Finnish sea captain. Wilfried von Christierson's mother was named Anna O'Flanagan, and she was from Belfast, and her family had once to flee from Ireland because her father was such a zealous Irish patriot. Wilfried was their only child, and his father died when he was 13 years old. The family was regarded with respect, but when Mrs. von Christierson started again to go to Mass after her husband's death, she was shunned from the Lutheran so-called high society. Because her son Wilfried was a good singer, he started to sing in the parish choir. And when he saw other choir members genuflect in front of the tabernacle, he started to imitate them, and he wanted to become a Catholic as well. Afterwards, his mother sent him to France to receive religious instruction, and Wilfried was taken to the church in 1896. 2 years later, he joined the seminary of Saint-Sulpice in Paris and was ordained in 1903. Father von Christierson spent the first years of his priesthood in France and in Sweden as a well-doing curate and secretary of a bishop. He was then recalled to Finland in 1906, when he was appointed to be the pastor of the parish of St. Henry in Helsinki. It was a historical event to have a Finn again in charge of a Catholic parish, but all went kind of downhill from there. Father von Christierson was constantly short on financial resources and help, and also troubled by different lawsuits. He was also continuously overburdened with work, troubles, and disappointments. One of Father Christierson's constant worries was how to get his parishioners to fulfill their Sunday obligation. In summer, because the Finnish summer was so short, the faithful rather traveled early Sunday morning to parks and on the shores of refreshing waters, and came back only late in the evening. And during the dark winter season, which lasted from September until May, the people liked to stay late in bed. Father von Christiansen's small flock of Finnish Catholics was really different in character than King David, who wrote, "O Lord, at dawn you hear my voice, at dawn I bring my plea expectantly before you." But Finnish Catholics, who were so eager in summer to do recreation at the crack of dawn, preferred to sleep in when winter came, and so they often missed their duty to arise early to attend the morning sacrifice. Father's greatest disappointment occurred in 1911. The Imperial Russian government was very suspicious towards the Finns and also towards the Catholic Church. So the Russians forced the foreign priests to leave the country, and Father von Christiansen, who was a citizen, was degraded as a chaplain of the very parish he was formerly in charge. Even after the independence of Finland came in 1917, he was kept back and remained as a lonesome recluse and embittered by disappointments. He never received any recognition of being the first Finnish priest after the Reformation. No mitre of the bishop, no papal medal, and no cape of a Monsignor. In 1943, he had a serious heart attack, and because of the war, he traveled to Sweden to get medical treatment. After he recovered enough to work, he assisted briefly at the Catholic parish of Lund, Sweden. From there, he one time made a pastoral visit to a local hospital to see some French laywomen and nuns who had arrived there as refugees from concentration camps. They had been separated from the Catholic world and had not received the sacraments for 2 whole years. And there, at the Lund Hospital, Father von Christiansen had his Mount of Olives. When he arrived to the hospital hall, all the Catholic patients rushed to him for confession. It was a mind-turning visit for him to see these frail and tortured women crying for happiness to finally, after years of seclusion, see a priest and given a chance to be absolved from their sins was unforgettable. All those years when Father von Christiansen had been taken self-evident at best and most of the time as a troublemaker were now over, and these poor women saw him as he truly was, another Christ, one of our Lord's friends, who would tell and remind people of all the things Christ had spoken. For 40 years, almost all the time, he had been wandering on the road to Calvary. Now he had finally arrived to Mount of Olives. Father only spent 2 months in Lund, but he said that for exchange of those months, he would have gladly given many years of his previous life. Dear faithful, it sometimes takes a lifetime to realize this one important difference between the Catholic faith and Father von Christiansson's former religion, Protestantism, to patiently carry one's crosses and difficulties in life is truly in striking contrast with the joyful world preaching of Protestantism. 3 weeks ago, Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham, visited Owensboro, Kentucky. After a Kentucky bluegrass band had performed, Will Graham took the stage and challenged his attendees to lay over their burdens to the Lord. Why go around carrying all the pain we've experienced in life when Jesus wants to take it away? God wants to take that brokenness in your life and use it for His glory, he said. This is really very typical attitude in life for most people calling themselves Christians. There still are many who are ready and willing to recognize Christ as the Son of God. But unfortunately, most of those are ready to meet Christ only at the Mount of Olives and abandon Him at Gethsemane and leave Him to die alone on Calvary. They are more than willing to take part of the glorious resurrection and ascension to heaven while being unwilling to carry their own cross in their own lives. Dear faithful, if you examine your conscience and notice that this has been your attitude as well, do not feel too guilty of this. After all, it took almost the whole life and 40 years of priesthood for Father von Christiansson to fully realize this. As a young man and living far away from home, he had many friends, but his own country prepared him persecution and cross. One disciple betrayed, another one denied. But he had the grace to see, before he died in 1945, that life of a follower of our Lord does not consist only the Mount of Olives. Life of a Christian contains also Gethsemane and Calvary. Before Christ gloriously ascended into heaven, he had to undergo a bitter passion. But do you know where did Christ go to pray in the beginning of his passion? He went to the Mount of Olives. Do you remember this responsory from Maundy Thursday Tenebrae? At the Mount of Olives, he prayed unto the Father, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. To imagine life free from all worries, free from all suffering, and being all in glory is a tempting idea, but it is not the inheritance and cup of a follower of Christ. Our lives start on the Mount of Olives and go on the bitter path of passion, but it will also end to the Mount of Olives, to glorious entrance into heaven. And all this is so beautifully said by Thomas a Kempis in his Imitation of Christ. There is no salvation for the soul, nor hope of eternal life, but in the cross. Take up therefore the cross and follow Jesus, and you shall go into life everlasting. He has gone before you, bearing his cross, and has died upon the cross for you, that you might also bear your cross and be ready to die upon the cross. Because if you die with him, you shall also live with him. And if you have fellowship with him in suffering, you shall also have fellowship with him in glory. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.